This is Veer Queer, and I'm here with Jess and Deisha today.
Aw, it's just me.
No, well, yeah, we didn't have you last week, so we were just like, let's just alternate.
It's a trade-off.
Right. Yeah, it's like, you can have this conversation, you'll take the next one.
I know.
One.
Will take I'm kind of sad that I met you, because that place seemed like, did you get to see it?
No, I didn't get to go see that. That's actually today, like right now, happening.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
But yeah, welcome back, everyone. Yeah, so we did our episode last week with Booty Candy, and this week we're here in the studios with Ivana. Right?
Am I
saying
yeah.
That right?
Yeah. You are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, basically we want to talk about, well, I guess I'm going to let Indisha and Ivana lead the conversation about, you know, being Black women in the kink scene or just any kind of like relationship and what that all entails. Because it, you know, it's sexually relationship. I mean, you know, y'all know.
Yeah, we know.
And yeah, basically yeah. That's what we want to do. And I want to hand it over to Indisha and Ivana, because they're both Black women, queer Black women who are actively in the scene. And so I want to hear that conversation from them. And as a non-Black POC, basically what that looks like and what that is giving a space for them to speak and talk without any interruptions or people talking over people. Or even not giving y'all the room to speak. And I just feel like that's a big thing I want to do, and just focus on. And also, I mean, why not? You know, like y'all are the ones paving the way for everyone, you know,
paving the fishnet way. Like.
So yeah, that's what it looks like. Y'all need to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Much appreciated.
Yeah.
I appreciate the space. It doesn't happen.
It doesn't, especially.
Yeah. So, yeah. Indisha.
I said, yeah, it doesn't happen. It comes to Black women and sex. Like, we're either Tatianas or we're not having any sex at all. And there's no in between. So.
Mm-hmm. Barely.
Yeah. Barely. So.
I agree.
It's
either ratchet or just
right. It's a lot of pressure, honestly.
Sexuality at all.
Yeah.
So.
That's. It's a lot of pressure, honestly. That's funny that you said the Tatiana, just because like there's so many different versions. I just had to interject and say that.
Oh,
and it's
my
hilarious.
God, I'm old. I actually heard that on the radio for the first time yesterday.
I listened to it.
Yeah. So yeah. But I was feeling it though.
I listened to it the other day. I was a really bad rapper. Like, that's all he can say is "Busted Down, Tatiana," and it wasn't even that good. I'm like, what else? What else about Tatiana? Like, do you know her favorite color? Do you know anything else about this woman that you just command that she busts it down? Like, are you paying her bills? Like, what's the story between like you and this Tatiana character? You know?
Yeah, I think that's usually the relationship I have with like. Mainstream, you know, rap songs, like, because on the one side, I'm like, yeah, yes, okay, because I'm there, you
right.
know, but the other side is like, damn, what is this exchange really like? And I really don't think,
right,
I really don't think it's equitable or anything positive for Tatiana.
No,
you're
right. I'm like, I definitely feel like Tatiana could do better for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and she could bust it down over here though, but you know, if she wants to.
For real.
And I would ask. Question mark, would you like?
Right, that would be, we can make a remix. It'd be like, what does Tatiana, would you like to bust it down, Tatiana, if you're feeling like that? And then
the
vibes for you.
Tatiana is
like, would you like to bust it down, Tatiana?
Yes. Yo, okay, can we do that though? Can we're already in the studio.
Yeah,
let's Yeah, let's put it on a track.
In the studio, but next after this episode, I'm already feeling it. Like I'm getting some like studio vibes just sitting here. Shout out to Open Signal, by the way, for having this space for me. I just like walked in and was like, "Hey, I have a podcast to record in 20 minutes. Can I do it?" And they're like, "Yes."
Wow.
Yes,
and that space looks awesome. I'm looking at you on video chat, and it looks so amazing. So I'm so glad that happened.
It's legit, right? I feel like I'm in hustle and flow right now. It's amazing.
Which character are you?
Oh, man. Oh, I haven't seen that movie in years. Holy shit. What even happened in that movie? I bet it was some bullshit. I want to be the main dude because I feel like I should be Terrence. The main dude. What is Terrence Howard, his light skinned right. character? I want to be the light skinned Terrence Howard
Can
character.
I that after I saw Big Mama's House, when he was like, I don't know, was he like somebody's ex husband or something? He was like lurking. Okay, I can never forget that.
He's always someone's ex husband,
right? Yeah. So he's forever creepy because of that. Big Mama's House was like so long ago. It's a moment in Black culture.
Oh my gosh. Right? I would say I need to brush up on the black. I think first we're doing my hair, which is if everyone's ever like had someone do their hair for them, that is a very black thing. Like it is super, super black. It's super intimate. My mom actually used to be a hairdresser. There's nothing as like you're letting someone basically touch your scalp for like 3 hours. It was pretty intimate, honestly.
Absolutely. That was a very intense conversation. And I think I've been doing people's hair on and off for probably about 6 years, and I've met so many people. I mean, I post on Craigslist, so I have strangers come into my house and I'm in their hair from anywhere from 2 to 12 hours, depending on the hairstyle. Yes, sometimes I do the faux locks. I'm not doing that anymore though. No. You know, and I've met so many different types of people. And it is a very black experience. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like something with their like the culture and just like the hairstyles, it's all just intertwined, which is just it's really special. And that's another reason why I feel like when it comes seeing so many dreadlocks on non-POC, it just really, but that's not what we're here for. We're here to talk about kink. I also did, that's another episode. I'll have you come back for that episode. But I also did pole classes in your house too. Like you're such a like bad bitch extraordinaire, just like a self-made entrepreneur. Like what else do you do? Like how many hats do you wear? Cause I think you're like amazing, honestly.
Oh my God. Thank you. I think I'm maybe a busybody of sorts. I think I have issues. Nice. Honestly, I think I have trouble sitting down. But yeah, like I do hair. I do pole dance. I am a dominatrix. I also have a regular job. I tutor. I won't get into the details of that because that's weird. But I've done many things, and I like to be dynamic, you know, just representing every single aspect of myself, if possible.
I think that they call black girl magic.
Actually, I wanted to interject and let you know that all the things you do are regular. Don't diminish yourself, you know?
Like, dope.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's true. Hell yeah. So how did you get started? When did you even start?
I guess these stories usually are long, honestly. This has been 11 years in the making. So it started with just an interest in kink. Actually, it was an interest in activism.
Okay.
So I was, at the time, an organizer. So in university, I went to Penn State. So on any break, I would just come back and forth from the tri-state area where I'm from and do organizing work. I got interested in learning more about organizing around sexuality and sexual freedom. And I ended up meeting someone, a friend of a friend, who was going to take me to what I thought was a conference, and ended up being a 3-day BDSM extravaganza. Yeah. So a week before we were supposed to go to this conference, that person backed out. I had never met her before. That person backed out, but I was already signed up and I already paid. Mm-hmm. So I walk in there and like there are leashes and naked people, mm-hmm. and spankings, mm-hmm. and just general fucking mayhem. Instead of leaving, which is, I did consider leaving when I walked in and I saw what it was, but I ended up staying for 3 days.
Nice.
And learning a lot and meeting a lot of people. Yeah. So from there.
Hell yeah.
I kind of, I started pursuing the interest more and including it in my personal life and then later in my business life, right? So I'm like, well, since I do it at home, I can do this for money. And it's worked out. I actually really, really enjoy the dynamic of making money. So making money with, like,
yeah, I would say that sounds cool. That sounds so cool. That sounds like an ideal job.
Yeah, I think people ask me about it a lot, and their assumption is that it would be scary, it would be creepy, and I actually have had a lot more creepy experiences in my vanilla life. Being a dominatrix, the type of people who pursue experiences with me don't at all make me feel creepy. I feel very powerful. It's a very empowering experience. I make the money. I demand what I want. Mm-hmm. I demand they show up at a certain time. I don't do anything I don't want to do. They pay me on site. So even if, like, you know, like, am I okay? We'll leave. Because I already got my money. What are you going to do? But it doesn't happen right. Like that. Like, I don't have to flex like that. So I don't want to get you guys to get that right. That impression.
It's like, I just happen to be a boss bitch. I don't have to do it. It just happens, you know? I love it. It sounds really, really amazing. And it sounds like at the end of the day, the whole purpose is for you to be in control, right? It's all about control.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. So how does that, like, having that dynamic as a bit, how does that translate into, like, your personal life? Like, would your friends say that you're, like, bossy kind of?
Question. That is an excellent question. I mean, okay, I think there's a couple different aspects of that. I think that mm-hmm. making money from creating an experience where I am in control over typically cishet white men changes the way that I walk in the world, mm-hmm. completely. It changed the way that I demand space, mm-hmm. for myself. It also changes the way I see other people. I often imagine people naked or tied up just walking around like, he probably likes this. And it, I don't know, it just colors the world a little bit differently. I think that people already think I'm a little bossy. Not that it keeps them from wanting to hang out, mm-hmm. but I think more than anything, people say, okay, that fits. And they want to know more about it. And they want to know how to right. do it, actually. Like, they want to have that experience. They want to be empowered. Either that or they want me to dominate them, which is also hot. Nice.
You just, like, walk around and, like, get clients all the time. That's so cool. So when it comes to being... Okay, so when it comes to people asking you for advice and asking you how to do it, if someone was like, I'd be tied up, how do I bring this up with my partner? Or I want to be spanked, bring what would you do it? Or like, hey, I'm like, that's cheating? Or I don't think it would count as cheating, but like, how would you like open those doors to like have those conversations?
Okay. I feel like that's really complex. I would have a lot of questions for that person about... Right? the nature of their relationship, because it is very intimate to admit or to voice desires that are not vanilla or not seen as normal, which we all know, you know, we're all freaks, but you know, and not everyone deserves right. that vulnerability. Not everyone deserves that intimacy, even if you right. are their partner, right? So I would ask first what that is like, what their relationship with their partner is like. Do they feel they have the space to be themselves? Do they feel they could be harmed in any way by voicing that? Right. So once we make sure their partner is not a fucking asshole, then we can get to the how to bring it up. I would probably say you don't talk about sex while you're having sex. It's not bad, but like, there's potential for awkwardness. There's potential for hurt feelings. Things get like things have a different lens when you're actually in bed doing that. I would probably choose a different time, like when you're eating or when you're on the couch or something, you know, something that's a little less involved. And maybe do a little bit of research so you can describe what it is that you want and see what they think. Like, ask them, how do you feel about this? And start there. Start with feelings and then move to action.
Yeah, that's how I do it. I like to propose scenarios. Like, hey, if we could, like, I thought about doing this a couple of times. Like, how do you feel about that? I don't limiting, like, seeing for like, but it's like, really, like, you know, how do you dynamics between is and I feel. It already on ability have said even self you I constantly rest self between that I like stuff that people will be like, having polar dynamic and polar opposites, like where do you really find the middle ground? I guess knowing yourself a lot really helps.
Well, Deesh, let me just tell you the type of things people request. I do not yuck any yum. We'll talk about this later. Like me and you, it doesn't have to be live, but you could name anything and I'd be like, yeah, I did that. It was all right. Or I actually liked it now. I recognize for myself that being in the kinky community has allowed me to accept my own versatility, accept my own change. And for me, my sexuality changes so much. Things that I thought were literally disgusting are the things that I'm obsessed with now. You know, so believing myself absolutely has been, it's been life changing. Giving myself the room to just believe it, like, you know, you felt that. You know, you're interested in it. It's okay. Like, accept that and love it. And then, you know, work from there. But as far as, like, you know, interest in things that you're not sure conflict maybe with something else, or maybe it actually does conflict with something else. Like, I'm trying to think of examples without being too disgusting. Disgusting in a good way. Okay. Well, I think about my ancestors a lot with the things that I do, like what they would think about it. And I think they want you to have amazing, overwhelming, cathartic experiences. And that's exactly what kink provides. In what other realm can you have experiences where you get spanked and spit on and then cry and then that person holds you? Right? We don't even touch each other as like culturally. So I think that it's an area of my life where I'm able to get to the things that I want really, really deeply. And maybe it's not appropriate elsewhere.
That's a really good putting that.
Yeah. As long as you're doing it with someone who knows how to do
that,
it.
That, yeah, that actually brings me into something because I know the whole like, I think it's had its own public resurgence. Like, everyone's getting into their own little version of what kink is. And I feel like a lot of the times it's taken advantage of. a lot of DOMs don't really know what they're doing, and they say, oh, you know, they think that putting kink in their bedroom and being called daddy and master and all this other stuff gives them excuses to be basically bluntly abusive and not really taking into consideration the person that they're actually doing those things to. They don't believe in aftercare. Like, how, for someone that is a little bit more submissive, and isn't on the other, on like the giving end, what would you say, what advice would you give to them to make sure, like, how can you tell that what you're in getting yourself into is an actual, like, healthy relationship or something that may potentially be down the line like abusive? Because I feel like those lines are so thin when you get into like putting pain or like hitting or slapping into relationships, and when you're dealing with someone that is an asshole. It's like, how do you know when you're dealing with an asshole?
Wow. Well, I'll just say there are multiple levels to what you just said. How do you know? I think that it's up to a person, no matter what role you're interested in playing, mm-hmm. or what you identify as, it's important that you do your own research. I think that sometimes, as a submissive mm-hmm. person, it seems appropriate to let someone right. lead the way. Right, to meet somebody who says they know things, and then obviously because I'm submissive, you know, that person is the one to mm-hmm. show me the ropes or to basically create this dynamic between us. It is definitely a thin line. I think as a submissive person, my suggestion mm-hmm. is to go to events. If you're not too shy, go to mm-hmm. an event, especially if you live on a coast. There are so many things that you could attend that is not going to be in someone's house or a dark, leaky mm-hmm. dungeon. You could go and feel safe and meet other people and see what people are doing, and also make friends, make connections with someone
right.
who's not your potential dom, master, top, whatever. That is a great way to understand what's appropriate and what's not appropriate, just like in relationships, right? So if you don't tell your friends what's going on in your relationship, sometimes your lens could be a little skewed, right? You start telling your friends, they're like, uh-uh, girl, what?
Right.
What are you doing? So I think it's important to show up in a space with other people as you, as in the submissive person who's interested in learning about what this is, and then pursue those relationships. You'll have other people to ask for reference on what's appropriate, right. what's abuse, and you can hold that person accountable. A submissive can tell, you know, a dom, master, top, no, absolutely not. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like this. You hurt me. And that person should be right. open to that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, I'm glad that you put that in the ethers, because I feel like what a lot of times people just want to be like, oh, let's be kinky tonight. That means you get all the control, when in retrospect, it's actually, I think, submissives have a little bit more control over the scene than they let on, that it's been let on. Because I see this stuff all the time. Like, I'm still on Tumblr. I know it's annoying, but I am. And, you know, I used to see all these little, like, things that I'm just like, what are y'all doing? Like, this is really messed up. I know, you guys. It's annoying. I'm still on Tumblr. I'm sorry. But, yeah, it's so weird, because the way that people paint the picture of kink is kind of fucked up sometimes. And it's like, I want to be interested in it and I want to participate in it, but I can't participate in something that, like, is like, I don't know, comes across as what it's not, you know? Like, I feel like people are just taking it and then kind of spitting on it, like,
yes,
like, definitely. Not in a kinky way, but like literally just turning it into something
else. I think I have mixed feelings about it. Honestly, being very young, starting very young, around 19, going to events with lots and lots of people, I already know there is very, very little space for Black, young, mm-hmm. queer kinksters. Very little space. All the spaces that I occupied were mm-hmm. white, hetero, older, and
had access, money, resources to go to these places. So in that sense, I feel very, I don't want to say blessed, but something like I had an advantage because I had an in, and then I was able to meet more people who invited me to spaces we probably would not have access to. That being said, this resurgence of, you know, people walking around with collars on or being interested, I love it. I love it because we're searching for our own identities, and we may not have the ability to have access like the typical or the what used to be a typical kinkster. You know, some of these conferences are like $300. Who 20-year-old has $300 to stay in a hotel to explore themselves, to explore their sexuality? In that way, I think sometimes kink could be really classist, you know, and people are like, well, that's not a real dom, that's not a real sub. If you don't do it this way, if you haven't trained this way, then it's not real. I just want to make sure that I'm not falling in with that. So when I see that, part of me is like, man, you know, you guys haven't paid your dues. And the other part of me is like, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. You know your sexuality. You're free to explore that in whatever way or express that in whatever way you want to.
Nice. Hell yeah. I love that. Yeah. Kink. Yeah. That's another thing. Kink does come off as really like expensive to start off with too. So yeah, you made some really good points. I feel like a lot of what keeps me in the house is the thing you're talking about, being the only Black person in the space. I feel like my energy, yeah, I can deal with it, but I choose not to. Like, I was just like, I choose to conserve myself, in ways that best fits me, and that includes me not being around a bunch of people that just won't let me be. So how how can you get past that? Because I wouldn't go to a kink space if I had someone invite me something on Facebook, because I would know, I'd be like, I'm probably gonna be stared at, I'm probably gonna be gaped at, weirdos gonna come up to me, I'm gonna want to fight, like, it's not gonna work out. So how exactly do you do that self-talk to where you're like, I'm doing this for me, I'm doing something that I actually think will benefit me, and I need to do this, but I need to put all that stuff aside, because I feel like being a Black woman, it's like the reasons they love you can also be the reasons people hate you, and it's just like, you walk in, you got haters in the building. It's really that simple. So how do you handle that as like a woman in kink, or a woman doing anything that's divergent from what people put you in and the stereotypes that people have you in? You know what I'm talking about. Like, when you're a Black woman, people just won't let you be.
I think initially, well, I know initially, I braved those feelings. I was like, okay, I know it's going to be a lot of motherfucking white people here, but I want this. So I'm going to have a shot and I'm going to go and I'm going to go, because at the time I didn't have any other way to access it. Now there's a lot more resources. So if you want to go brave that, go brave it, bring a friend and stand in the corner and watch people and, or talk about people, because that's fun too. What I would suggest, if you are not interested in doing that, you definitely don't want to put yourself in a position where you're uncomfortable. That's not where I'm going with it. I would say for folks who want to do it a different way, join FetLife, FETLIFE.com, which is kinky Facebook. Make a profile. Your profile won't show up on Google. I've tried, just to make sure, like, nothing will pop up or anything like that. So in that way, I feel it's pretty secure. I'm no webmaster, but that's what I think. And you'll have access to other people and also resources to get to know what you're interested in, to understand your own identity, and also to learn about events. I mean, that's a good place to start. You can meet other Black kinky people. And then also making your own space. So now that I'm older, when I came to Houston, I was like, you know what? I don't think I want to hang out with kinky white people. I don't think I want to, like, I think I want to make my own space. So then I'm like, okay, I'll have a play party. And even if it's three of your friends fucking around, hitting each other, it's something. So creating your own spaces is probably the most inspiring experience that you can have within your own sexuality. Right? So that's, yeah, so sad about Tumblr. That was, mm-hmm. that would have been another resource, but yeah.
I know. Tumblr did have a lot of sex worker resources.
I kind of wanted to ask, since y'all brought up about websites and like Tumblr and whatever you just mentioned, could we surface around Backpage and how, I guess it was mainly for sex workers, right? And how it's like no longer a thing. Do y'all know, what are y'all's takes on it?
I got my dom start on Backpage, and let me tell you.
Oh, wow.
It, at the time, it was kind of dying its slow death, and mm-hmm. it was freaking creepy. I wouldn't go back there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is today. I have not searched it in maybe like 2 years. But what I would do at the time, pretty similar to how you would post an ad on Craigslist in probably the like women for men section, like the relationship section, and I would just put my information. If you're gonna go do that, get a Google Voice number, absolutely, and get a separate email address. Yeah. You should probably get a Proton email, because it's not linked through Google and nobody can get your information, and they can't, you know, well, maybe look up FOSTA, right? New rules, right? Sex workers are kind of being lumped in with sex trafficking. So yeah, some companies work with the government. Mm-hmm. So Gmail might not be safe. I use Gmail. So
wow.
But I just want to tell you guys the safest way. So if you want to do that on Backpage, just be prepared.
What? Gmail's working with the feds?
I mean, okay? But that's what's going on in our country today. Like, what? Yeah, you can post on Backpage if you like. I would suggest posting on Eros.com. It is safe. I don't suggest putting a face picture, although some dominatrixes do, some sex workers do. They have ads. You can put ads up for any type of sex worker, whether you want it to be an escort or dominatrix, or I think they even have masseuses up there, although I don't really know if I think that's sex work, but I guess it could be. But I've used that for a couple of years and I've had absolutely no issues. Twitter's also great for plugging for sex work, and also Instagram. Those are the places that I use in particular. Mm-hmm. If you Google dominatrix directories, there are a bunch of different ones. And if you make your own website, you can put a banner for that page. Like even maybe Eros not, but like other companies, and they'll post your ad for free.
Okay.
Right? As long as you put a link to their website somewhere on your website. Mm-hmm. Having a website does help. I made my own with Wix. It was like $10 a month.
So, all right.
Nice.
You know, just information, sharing here. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah, that works. Yeah.
Nice, nice. Thank you. That's great. And are you still are doing dominatrix works like right now, like currently?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Cool. Hell yeah.
Yes, Andy, are you interested in a session?
Awesome. I mean, if you can fly out to Portland, girl, hit me up.
Well, fly me out though.
We'll talk after this. But this has been so much fun, and I feel like I've learned so much. I feel like there isn't a lot of information. Well, there is more information coming up about kink, but not like POC kinksters. That's new. So I feel like we're doing some really, really good stuff here. And I hope that the people listen, like, really open their minds and try it out and see how they feel about it. Because it is fun to explore those type of things. And yeah, like, I feel like it doesn't always have to be 0 to 100 every time, because I feel like when people think kink, they're just like, oh, we're going in, you know? So what are some, like, kind of, like, easy into-it things that you would suggest? Like, say someone wants to do kink, but they're like, I don't really know, or I don't want to really get that, like, into it. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, suggestions. Like, for example, if someone wants... Yeah, like one-on-one. What are some, like, one-on-one warm-ups? Kinky warm-ups.
I think, well, number one, role-playing. That is something that's going to exist between or inside any kinky dynamic. And you don't need any money. You don't need anything to do that. It's fun. You can be as creative as possible. It's intimate. That's a great place to start. I think reading erotica together is, like, kind of hot. And can lead to some kinky things, and it's light. It's like, you know, kink light. And let's see, spanking or things with sensation. So say, for instance, you're not into pain, which a lot of kinky people aren't into pain. You could do things with sensation. You can do things with sensory deprivation. So like blindfolding someone and then also plugging their ears and doing things to their bodies, which is it's very intimate, and one person has control. They could do anything and then the other person doesn't, but it's not anything that should produce any pain unless you wanted to. I think that those are some good places to start.
Wow. Good to know. Let me write this down.
All right. Yeah. And they're all free. I love free stuff. You're taking notes. Like, I can tell. Yeah. So what have been some of your favorite interactions, like, as a dom? Like, can you just give us some of your in the life experiences? Like, what's, like, some of your, like, either with customers or even with yourself being a dom? Like, let's hear some of your faves. Let's hear it.
Well, it doesn't happen often, but when I get to dom somebody queer for money, wow. Oh, God. So what? Even for free. Like, even for free. So one of my... She's going to be listening. One of my bays booked a session with me, and it was really hot. It was really hot. And I was like, well, we can play anyway. And then she was insistent. That she wanted to do it like how everybody else would book a session. And that is what she got, okay? We had a grand old time. So that's definitely, that was interesting, doming somebody that I know on a personal level. I think making connections with clients who are like returned, I have loads of fun with that. Just like you would if you were in a relationship with someone. Mm-hmm. Your energy develops over time. You get to know what they like. You get to try new things, and it's intimate. And I really enjoy creating intimate spaces with me and my clients, whether I see them 10 times a year or whether I see them only one time.
Hell yeah. That sounds like so much fun. It sounds like customer service.
I am here to please.
Oh, did y'all hear?
I guess I wanted to ask, what do y'all feel like? I guess anytime I think of, or I guess I like any kind of ad or whatever of kink, it's always based around white people and the white gaze. I guess from y'all, like, what it, since I don't know if y'all see that as often as I do, but, you know, being online or wherever, and that conversation is mostly evolved around white folks, as y'all have already mentioned. What's something that you can say to other black and brown bodies, like, I don't know, that you've
dealt with, or, you know, other stifling issues because of this, or different dynamics that y'all have had to deal with, you know, when it comes to race and in the community. Yeah, in the mm-hmm. community.
In the kinky community, or for sex work? Or
I guess, yeah, if you want to hit both. I guess we could do the kink community.
Okay. I think
yeah.
feeling isolated is something I felt consistently, even though I know a lot of people in the scene, and you can get iced out anyway. Mm. I think, you know, it makes it even more necessary for you to be grounded in yourself, your own interests, and really just love who you are, or be learning to love who you are, right. because it doesn't matter how open people claim to be, we're still part of the macrocosm. Oh, there's right. still lots of racism. There's still lots of patriarchy. There's still lots of homophobia, mm-hmm. biphobia, transphobia, and those things exist within the community. So definitely making your own community is absolutely necessary, even if it's one person. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people all over the country, and I can reach to them if I need to. Yeah. So make your FetLife profile, right? Make your FetLife profile. Get on it. Add people. And write a message like, hey, I'm new, and I just want to meet other, like, mm-hmm. black kinky people, or I want to meet other people of color who are kinky. Can we be friends? And I guarantee they'll be like, yeah, like, definitely. And you've made a connection. So if you know somebody in your town and they're willing, which they should be, mm-hmm. make connections with them, and they can introduce you to other people. I am an open book. You know, I would love more friends. So, yes, reach out.
Okay, that's cool. Thank you. Yeah, well, thanks for coming in. Now that you said that you're open book, do you have any plugs or anywhere that we can find you? Where can we find you? If anyone wanted to book a session with you, how do we do that?
Easiest way would probably be on FetLife, and that way you'll feel pressure to make an account to see what mm-hmm. it's about. You can find me on FetLife. My name is Queenie, Q-W-E-E-N-I-E. I also have a Twitter and an Instagram at DomCutie, DomCutie.
Awesome, yeah. Sweet. We want to, you know, thanks for coming into the studio and having this conversation with us. Well, I guess with Indy. I really appreciate it. And I hope our listeners, you know, took something away from it, or, you know, and also at the same time, given space to, you know, black and brown bodies to have this discussion and talk about these things.
Definitely. Yeah. And Indy, can we link up mm-hmm. in whatever space you are kinky? Because I wanna link
Hell
up.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so oh, wow. I want that session to happen.
Get in there, Indy.
Oh, me?
I'm shooting my shot. Come on.
All right. Hey. All right. Listen. All right. Yeah, Kobe. All right, listen. Let's do this. I'm interested. I would love a session with you. Yeah. Oh my God. Well, thank you guys for listening so much. Thank you, Ivana, for coming out. And thank you, Open Signal, for letting me record this episode in your beautiful sound room. As everyone noticed, you didn't hear anything in the background. That's because I am surrounded by egg cartons. It's great. If you are in Portland and need to record anything, Open Signal is a place to do it. And also, again, thank you so much, Ivana, for being here. I will be hitting you up, girl, later. Thank you all so much for listening.
Follow us on Veer Queer HTX on Facebook. Like our page, share it if you haven't already. If you have any comments, concerns, questions, just email us at veerqueerhtx@gmail.com. I'm not even going to go and try to say our Twitter because we haven't really been active on there. But you can find us. It's veerqueerhtx. So thank you. Thanks, Ivana. And